Welcome back to Nerdrotic. My name is Gary Beekler. I come to you from nerdrotic.com and I am live in San Francisco. And this is the second attempt at the Orville recap for the finale, season 2, episode 14, The Road Not Taken. And unfortunately, the Orville came out the same night Endgame did. So I had to do that first. So I'm very happy to be here talking about an excellent episode that ended an excellent season. Some brief spoiler-free thoughts before I get into the spoilers of the episode. And I'm trying something a little different here. I'm doing a dual recording so I can chop this down into a video, a shorter video for those of you who don't want to sit through the live streams. And then I can include some of your chat. Thought that might be a good idea. We'll see if it works. It might not. I'm using two cameras, two microphones. It's kind of a janky system, but we'll see if it works. We'll see if it works. The Orville tonight, or last night, it was so good that I did a 3-hour live stream after Endgame, and I was going to watch the Orville for a few minutes, and I ended up watching the entire episode. It was fantastic. It really resolved the previous Tomorrow episode quite well. They didn't give us any scenes for this week, and I'm really glad they did that. I wish they would do that more often. I was completely surprised, and they really flipped something on its head that Star Trek Discovery was trying to do, as Brian Smart so smartly put in the chat. They did something Star Trek Discovery couldn't do in an entire season. They did it in 2 episodes, and it was great. So I can't really talk much about this episode without spoiling it, other than I will tell you I loved it. It was a great finale. It's their best finale. It was much better than the one from last season. Season 2, I can easily say, was better than season 1, and season 1 was fantastic. This is a great show. Hashtag renew the Orville. What the hell are you waiting for, Fox? And I feel like Fox wants to be Fox one more time before they turn into Disney, and they want to cancel a good show much too early. Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles, Firefly. I could go on, but I won't. Those are two shows that I'm still kind of bent about. And the sad thing is, one of the people involved in canceling those shows, her son worked for me at the comic store, and she's actually a really nice lady. Business is business, you know. I just don't agree with it at all. So I'm going to get in the spoiler territory now. So if anybody wants to dip out, I know that was short, but I can't really talk about this episode without talking about spoilers. So spoiler now, check out the episode, come back and watch this as a video. I will be keeping it up on the channel. And of course, I spoiled one thing with my thumbnail, but I figured most people had watched it by now. I don't know how many people wait to watch the Orville, but I know you all have lives and you need to watch that stuff later. So I do apologize, but I couldn't resist that thumbnail because it's so good to see Alara again. Okay, so we start out with two mysterious people on a snow planet walking to what looks like what is a sound station for the Union. They break in. They have masks on, but they look like they're wearing 20th century winter clothing. And they break in and they steal what looks like a microwave. And as they're running away, the Kalons show up. And we find out the Kalons can do something new, remove their heads and fly after you, which was brilliant. And these two gentlemen, we assume they're gentlemen, run to the shuttle. They make it out. It's a Union shuttle, and we find out it is indeed Ed, Mercer, and Gordon, and they stole I'm going to call it a replicator. I don't know what it's called in the Orville, and they needed to eat, and apparently things are really bad, and we find out that it's been in 9 months, the Kalons destroyed half the galaxy, killed half the galaxy. And we see the repercussions of Kelly's decision not to date Ed a second time. And we are in the mirror Orville universe. So they do two things that Star Trek Discovery couldn't do, and they did it well. And wouldn't it be great if we got kind of a mirror Orville episode? We got it. Seth delivers because he likes the fans. I know it's not really in vogue or trendy right now to like fans. Fans are these bad people that just pay for everything, you know, the jerks. And yeah, by the way, I have to acknowledge that I am a shill. I'm a complete 100% shill for the fans. bought and paid for by the fans, damn straight. Okay, so they end up, they escape the Kalons, and we find out the Kalons, there's not many safe places left. There's not many people left. And they stole the replicator so they could, and then the first thing Gordon goes for is a Twinkie. He wants a Twinkie. And Ed, of course, chews him out for it. He's all, I risked my life for a Twinkie. He's all, do you want some? He's all, yeah. And they eat it, and it's good, and it's a cool little scene. And this is where that comedy that, remember before the Orville came out, people like me, jerks like me, said, how could this work? It's just going to be silly and dumb, and there's just going to be, you know, fart jokes in space. And then we realize that Seth MacFarlane's actually a good writer, and he had a plan all along, and this might have been what CBS rejected, and then Fox picked it up, and now this is the Star Trek, and Star Trek has become the parody. Remember those days? Yeah. Well, this Twinkie joke was perfect. That was perfect. I mean, that's the kind of thing that lightens the mood. It takes the stick out of the butt of the Berman era Star Trek, which I loved, but come on, it had a little bit of a stick up its butt. Come on, we have to admit that, especially later on with Voyager and stuff. So they eat the Twinkie, and they are in quantum drive, and they get pulled out of quantum drive. And there is a scavenger ship, and I got a Firefly. I felt like it was a Firefly reference when Gordon said that they were going to wear our skins for coats or something like that. And I got a little Reaver thing. So props to you, Seth, for mentioning. I thought that was a little bit of a Firefly reference. I could be wrong. And they get on the scavenger ship, and it is captained by Kelly. It is Kelly. And she says, hi, Ed. And they haven't seen each other in 7 years because they haven't talked since then. And it turns out, that the events of the Orville did happen, but it was with a different captain. So we got different results, obviously. Isaac ended up getting disassembled, and the Kalons wiped everything out, including Earth. So what they found out was the memory wipe didn't work for young Kelly. And it's because she, and I wrote it down here, it was a beta Socrates. I don't know. It's something like something beta. Okay. But not a male beta. And it's something going on with her brain. It's some brain chemical. So that's why the memory wipe did not work. So they have to go back in time and redo the memory wipe. They're not really sure how to do that. Kelly has been assembling the old crew of the Orville because she remembers everything, obviously, and she's seen everything go to hell, so she feels properly bad about it. And she found Ed and Gordon. Gordon doesn't know who she is. Gordon doesn't really believe that they are able to do this. There's a lot of ifs involved. They have to get everybody together. They have to get Claire. She has to find the right formula. There's a serum that will help on Kelly, but they can't find it anywhere because all the Union medical facilities are decimated. But there turns out there is a resistance. Oh, that keyword that people, that 2019 keyword. It's actually from 2016, 17, and 18 too. But you know what I mean. And they have to go down to a resistance depot that John knows about to get this chemical. So they go down there and they see Yoffit. Yoffit is part of the resistance. And who is leading the resistance? They say it's the lieutenant. It's Alara. Alara came back. She's looking pretty badass. Her hair is longer. She still has to go through gravity treatments. And it turns out that her and John had a bit of a bad relationship, a bad breakup that they allude to. Well, Alara is able to give them the whatever they needed for Kelly. The beta Socrates or sacred, what I can't even, you know, I wrote it down and I still can't read it. God damn it. So they have that, but they still don't know how they're going to get back in time. And as Kelly says, she says one thing at a time. So they're able to get that, but the Kalons find them and they attack on the base. It looks like Alara kills or blows herself up to help save them. So as they're attacking and then the heads remove again, they run to the shuttle and get away, but the base explodes. So I'm assuming that alternate reality Mira Alara is dead, which is very sad. But when they jump into the shuttle, there's a Kalon right there and Ed and Kelly kill it, but not before they say, Ed asks, do you want the bottom or the top? And Kelly says, I like being on top. Kelly. So yes, they kill that Kalon, and that comes in handy later. They take apart the body, and they are going to use it for something. And we get a lot of John in this episode, and a lot of his brilliance, his expertise. So Ed and Kelly, while they are traveling out, what they need to do is they need to find the Orville. The Orville crashed on Earth. Earth is decimated. The Orville is at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And they need to get back to the medical facility, or the facility there, so they can get that time device and they can send the doctor back in time to do the proper memory wipe on Kelly. In the meantime, Ed and Kelly have their second date. They have it in the ship. We get a little background on how much Kalon is actually, the Kalons have pretty much decimated the galaxy, and they're going to come and people don't have long. We get a sense that people don't have, they're humans and all biological beings are not long for this world. There's a couple of great spaceship porn scenes in here, and I love me some spaceship porn. Our good friend Tommelfinger made a video that I requested, which was basically all the ship porn from Star Trek the Motion Picture. But you take out Jerry Goldsmith's soundtrack and you put in some porn music, and he did it, and it was great. It was great. And we really could have used it here. We had an asteroid. We had an escape through an asteroid field. We had an escape through an ice moon, and really well done. Now, technically, are these effects not as good as Star Trek Discovery? Some may say, but I say they're better because you can see them. You know, Star Trek Discovery is like Star Trek Discovery. It's a lot of shiny lens flares, a lot of bright, over bright lights, a lot of blown out lights, you know, flashing you in the face with the camera. Notice that they always have a light behind somebody and it really distorts their face. It's terrible. Well, you can see this show because it's done in the 90s Star Trek, or early 90s, late 80s. Star Trek aesthetic, and an aesthetic that I will argue is still a good aesthetic. So they get down to Earth. They have to use the shuttle because they can't use the ship. And they go to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. So that's 7 miles down, by the way. So they have to divert the power from the deflector shields to get all the way down there. They make it down to the Orville. And again, you know, I can't really describe this. There's just a lot of great ship porn in this. Flying down through the ocean, the ice moon, the asteroid battle, fighting the Kalons. We find out that there are Kalon inside those ships. I just thought they were just kind of remote control, but the ship within a ship is piloted by 3 Kalon. Oh, by the way, they hide in a black hole, in the event horizon of a black hole from the Kalon, which is great scene. And the effects were great. So they make it down to Earth, they get to the Orville, and Bordas is still down there. He went down with the ship while everybody escaped. He has been surviving on rations and hope, the hope that Cliadin and his son made it back to Mokulus. And then Talia kind of ruins it for him. And why do I say Talia? I always want to say Talia. I always get her name wrong. That's all right. And she tells him that Mokulus has been destroyed, and he's like, wah, wah, wah. So Bordas is there, and Ed finds out, of course, that he was the one who helped defeat the Kalon, and he can't believe this at all. He has not captained a ship. He has commanded a couple of bases. He's never really made it to captain yet. And they need him to captain the Orville because that's his destiny. And he's at first not really going for it, but Bordas tells him to sit. So they have to move the Orville out of the Pacific Ocean and launch it into space. John Lamar has to get that time device going again, but they can't do it without getting into Isaac's head. John figures out a way to do that because there's an imprint of Isaac in the Orville computer, and they have a disassembled Kalon in there. So they use that to tap in to Isaac. In the meantime, there's more drinking between Ed and Kelly, and they make out, and a little bow chicka wow wow. And while they're trying, they need to divert all the power to get this working again, and they have to connect into Isaac. So they connect to Isaac, and doing that, That means the Kalon are going to be able to find them immediately. So they have to act quickly. We are on a countdown. So they have to send the doctor back to Earth to erase Kelly's memory. And they have to do it in a very short amount of time. So the Kalon, of course, find them. And they were able to get the enough power to get Claire down to Earth. And of course, she erases Kelly's mind properly. And everything is reset back to normal, we think, because that's where the episode ends. But not before, right before that happens, I'm sorry, I skipped this part. The Orville gets destroyed. So right before it gets destroyed, Ed asks Kelly to marry him. She says yes, and then boom. And the kids are on the ship and everything, and it gets totally destroyed. So, yeah, we think it's reset, but that's where the episode ends. But that is great. I feel like, well, that's a huge cliffhanger because there's a couple questions I have. If they used Isaac's head, I'm just thinking that this could be a problem. I wouldn't think everything is done clean. This could be some kind of a Kalon plant to have this reality happen. Maybe that's why Kelly was zapped onto the Orville in the first place. I just don't think we're done with the Kalon, and I think it's going to have something to do with this plot. So we will see in the future when we get to season 3 of the Orville. But we got, it was great. It was a great episode. I had a lot of fun watching it, and I had a lot of fun watching it this season, and thank God it was here. And if, man, this has been such a great week. We had Cobra Kai, we had the Orville, we had Endgame, and, you know, all of them were mostly good. Certainly had, you know, we won't talk about Endgame here. That's for tonight on Friday Night Tights. But let's get to the chat. Let's get to the chat. I want to know what you guys, oh God, I hate it when that happens. It goes sliding over all the time. There we go. First of all, okay, real quick. If you guys, I know I asked this and I was too busy blabbing. If you gave a super chat in the last live stream, please at Nerdrotic, what your comment was. The Ice Canyon was very Firefly species 1571. And go ahead and put it here. Peter Davison, where is the toll booth? I don't know. All I think is Blazing Saddles. Anybody got any dimes? Peter Davison, Australian $2. Thank you very much for the super chat. Anthony Losego, for $50, a $50 super chat. You could have asked for this for free, Anthony. No Endgame spoilers, please. No, we will not be talking about Endgame here. We are talking about the Orville, but thank you for the very generous super chat. Jeffrey Schweitzer for $9.99. Great episode. Felt better than I did walking out of Endgame. Out of the three things I said were good, Endgame is behind Cobra Kai and the Orville. Peter Davison, again, thank you for the Australian $2. I don't know where the toll booth is. Tito George for $2. This season of the Orville did not disappoint. Not at all. Not at all. So why Fox hasn't renewed this yet? I don't know. The only thing I'm worried about, JP, poor JP at Egotastic Funtime. He's going to have to like go through this whole time not knowing if his show's renewed or not. But I just want to tell JP, don't worry. I have a feeling that this show will be just fine. I'm wondering if they're debating putting it on D+. Because honestly, it would be a very good streaming show. What do you think? And Disney owns it now. Although I don't know if Fox Television is autonomous like Marvel is. And like Pixar is, I'm not sure. They might be. Disney tends to do that. Although they do metal. They certainly do. Peter Davison, Australian $5. If you don't want to travel down the right road, there's always a price. That's what I meant. Oh, okay. See, I'm a little slow, Peter Davison. I mean, partially blonde. Just saying. And lots of drugs in the 80s. Right? I gotcha. Well, you know what? We don't have a ton of toll booths here. At least here in... You know, I have one on the bridge. That's it. But you European countries and European-based countries like Australia, you have a lot of toll booths. There's a lot of toll roads in Italy, too. Daniel, $5. For those who are good at verbal reasoning testing, Gary is Gary is to the entertainment media as the Orville is to modern Star Trek. Wow. That is major high praise, Daniel. Thank you very much. I will attempt to hold their feet to the fire. I don't know if that, well, yeah, I don't think they listen to me, but that's okay. You guys do. And that's all I care about. That's all I care about. The FX reminded me of the original Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, of course they're CG, but they're very model looking. And I think that's very deliberate and I love it. Unless they use a model, they might. I have no idea. 90s aesthetic is the best aesthetic, says Vladdy 777. It really kind of is. The beige kind of 80s aesthetic. I like it, you know, for retro. I don't know how good it stands up now, but it was a fantastic episode. I liked it quite a bit. Dirty Ed Mercer versus clean Ed Mercer. Yeah, I guess that was the big difference in the mirror universe is bathed and unbathed. Australia Post just notified me. Purcell delivered only, not sure to whom. Sorry. The one you delivered to Doomcock, he'll let you know if he gets it. I got something today, but I haven't opened it. It is not from Australia, though. It is not from Australia. This is a great episode in every way. All caps. Robert Smith is excited. Yes. Write a song about it. Robert Smith, I want your next Cure album to be all about the Orville. Rome Hater, neurotic. Well, young Kelly woke up at 9 a.m. She said yes to Ed Mercer's second date. She did at the very end. And that changes everything back, but they didn't show everything going right back. So I'm wondering if they're going to play with that a little bit. And I think that would be fun. I also think that the way everything has gone with the Kalon since season one, there's a big overarching plot going on here. And I think the Kalon had something to do with Kelly showing up in the first place with the whole time thing. And maybe it's through Isaac and he doesn't know it. Maybe the Kalon have some kind of, you know, bug on him, or some kind of virus or program that he doesn't know about that accesses time travel. Because if the Kalon can access that, that would be a very thorough way of getting rid of all sentient life. And weird, there's another AI that wants to get rid of all sentient life. And it's weird that on the day that Endgame premieres, that half of the universe in the Orville universe is missing. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, somebody shot this to me. The only Endgame thing I'll talk about is Google Thanos and click on the glove. It's pretty cool. It's just a cool little effect. Tamarox, $50. Love how the Orville does mirror universe and time travel so much better than STD, right? Because it's part of the story. It's not a gimmick to go, hey, remember Star Trek? Remember the mirror universe? Remember Spock with the beard? Remember? Yeah. Well, we'll do it, but we'll modernize it. Because we'll modernize science fiction because Alex Kurtzman is such a genius. And CBS, how are you looking right now? Because you chose him over Seth MacFarlane. And God, you know what? You wouldn't have to pay $400 million for a Picard show if you had the Orville because you would have subscribers and a lot of people watching. I questioned a little bit Fox's scheduling of the Orville, but Seth MacFarlane and nobody involved in the Orville has any say in that. So that is not a judgment on them in any way, shape, or form. To the writing staff of the Orville and Brandon Braga and Seth MacFarlane, great job. Great job. The whole cast, you're brilliant. I actually showed the Orville season finale to my brother's girlfriend, and she was surprised that it was a good show. And then she realized she picked the wrong brother. Right, Lord Frieza? She went, I love you instead. Just kidding. the keyboard wizard. This is so hard. This is so hard to masturbate to, but not impossible though. Keyboard wizard for the win. And ew, but if the show doesn't get renewed, that'll mean we're living in the wrong timeline. Michael Alton. Yes. I will completely believe that we are living the wrong timeline. I've kind of thought that for a long time anyway. I think there's a universe out there where the Twin Towers are still standing. Chargers are still in San Diego. And Star Wars doesn't suck, nor Star Trek. Savage Mars, it implies that it did go back to the original timeline because Dr. Finn disappears. That is true. So it definitely goes back to the original timeline. If I didn't make that clear, I'm sorry. I fully believe that everything went back because you're right, Savage Mars. Dr. Finn disappears once she gives Kelly the injection. She is gone. I probably should have mentioned that. And everything that implies that everything is completely reset. I think there might be just some, you know, it would be fun if like one little thing is different. What that thing is, who knows, but I bet you something is different. They even kind of mentioned that in the episode when he talks to Kelly about going to temporal class that you take in for the union. It implies Neurotic, I would like to thank the Orville for fixing the STD canon timeline problem. Stephen Klein, I know, right? My old ass mom watches the Orville. That's how you know it's good. Show for anybody. Zippo Fanatic 77, my old ass mom. How old is your old ass mom? They missed the opportunity to have Dark Orville with lots of lens flare. I bet you they do that. That happens at some point. It's gotta happen. Someone still needs to address that Isaac is still transmitting and linked to the Kalon. APOC 003, that's what I was insinuating, that there is still a connection to the Kalon, and the Kalon are just biding their time, because remember, they're extremely patient. They don't need to wipe everybody out right now. They want to be efficient. They've got time, and they want to use the least amount of resources as possible, because it's a machine and it wants to be as efficient as possible to wipe out everybody in the universe. And they were very thorough, by the way. They killed all the fish. There was no fish. There was no dolphins. There was no whales. There was no nothing. She's 60, Gary. Well, then I'm only 10 years younger than your old ass mom. Old ass Gary. Send my best to your mom, Zippo. Mikhail Rozowski for PLN 4799. Hi today from Poland. In Poland, Star Wars Episode 9 local title is revealed. It could be directly translated as Skywalker Rebirth. Interesting. Very, very interesting. I don't think they can save that. Unless they resurrect Carrie Fisher and put the original three in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, not going to happen. Our universe is in limbo and we suffer for our sins, says Andre. Well, maybe, yeah. Okay, the glove thing is pretty neat, says Ian Moon. Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was pretty cool on Google. 60 equals experienced, Nordry. Bruce Lombardo, thank you. I don't feel younger. I don't think I look younger either, really. Yes. Mr. Roboto for $2. Orville did time travel better than That means no invasion. Yeah, well, if they do time travel, they won't need to invade. They can just change things and they save all kinds of, well, not that they care about money, but they actually care about the physical resources. Nerdrotic. Yeah, my son brought this up, by the way. Nerdrotic, kudos for the Orville to be able to trend on a night when the NFL draft was going on and the Orville managed to increase its ratings, which we will go to real quick like. Bum, bum, TV series finale. And we will see what the Orville, I don't know, it might be too soon to see, but we will check it out. Oh man, I'm just reminded of Counterpart getting canceled. That just sucks in every way. Sucks in every way. I don't think the Orville is getting canceled, folks. I think they're waiting because of the streaming service stuff. The Orville season 2 ratings. There it is right there. Sorry for the silence there. I apologize for that. Okay. Wow, the ratings are up. Whoa, okay. This is good. I'll share it with you, folks. Present every okay. So notice when it's the times it's down is every time they've taken a break for some reason, but the finale, while not performing as well as the opening, it's certainly see. God, look at that. Identity parts 1 and 2 did great. Then they take all these breaks. It goes down a little bit, but they still were clipping right about 3 million viewers. So that's not a huge change. The only reason it went down was because it, at the end of the season, it took a bunch of ridiculous breaks, but it still had 2.9 million people watching and a 0.7 in the 18 to 49, but you can't really count this because most people are watching this digital. By all accounts, they double their numbers with digital. So we're talking about 6 million people. Yeah, that's a show you do not cancel. Period. End of story. I was looking at Game of Thrones ratings today. And 11 million people watched the opening one. That was pretty crazy. That was pretty crazy. So yeah, I think it's doing pretty damn good. I don't think there's anything to worry about with the Orville. All right, folks, I'm going to wrap this one up because I've got to go to the other channel. I've got a lot of live streaming going on here today. I'm sorry this one is shorter, but the Orville is fantastic, and I will be doing a full season 2 review discussion sometime next week, so you can join me for that, and we can look over the entirety of the season. I'm going to be going to Nerdrotic Live to cover the Doom Patrol here in about an hour, and then I'm right back on this channel. And if you're watching this as a video, every Friday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, I do a show called Friday Night Tights with my friend Comics Division and guests, and we talk about anything and everything under the sun. Tonight will probably mostly Avengers Endgame, but we can certainly talk about some Orville. Tonight it's going to be a little earlier. It's going to be 6 p.m. Pacific time because we have a couple of East Coasters joining, so we don't want to keep them up that late. Plus, I did live stream for 3 hours last night. Did not plan to do that at all in any way, shape, or form. Spartacus Aurelius for $5. I was informed Scott Grimes will miss Starfest in Denver this weekend due to his Orville filming schedule. Oh, really? Well, that is some news. Great con. So they're filming already? Well, then they must be getting a season 3. That's interesting. Spartacus, is there any information you could show me? Does it say that like on the website or anything? Could you screen cap that for me and send it to Gary@nerdrotic.com, please? If you have. If not, it's cool. It's fine. Thank you so much for the super chat. That is excellent news. JP, are you listening? Are you listening, man? It's going to be okay. I'm a little worried about him. All right. Guy with the pants. For $10, I was grinning ear to ear with the Star Wars-esque music score and the ship battle scenes. I thought I was watching a movie. So much good space porn in this. So much good space porn. Great special effects. Well done. This is a great show. I wonder if they will film some stuff and then show it off at San Diego Comic-Con where they officially announce its existence. They might. I will be there. And Alio Op 1, they must have a season 3 or I'll have a kick fit. Well, there you go. Hashtag six seasons at a movie. Hashtag renew the Orville. Damn straight. Damn straight. Da, da, da. Okay. All right. So I'm going to thank you for the last minute super chats there. Oh man, Mr. Roboto. I almost missed that one too. $2 idea. Drive digital delivery with physical copy. I hope so. As far as digital, they don't have a physical copy of the Orville yet. Well, they have DVDs, but I want Blu-rays. I want Blu-rays, damn it. I'll buy them. Okay, I got to run. You can join me at Nerdrotic Live to cover Doom Patrol if you don't want to watch that. We will be right back here with Friday Night Tights talking mostly about Avengers Endgame and its effect on the MCU going forward, which I'm sorry to report. Good movie. Don't like what's ahead. Definitely problems with the movie, though. I saw it twice in one day. Everybody, Robot Rob Shlomo, what is up? Six seasons of the Orville and a movie. He echoes that. What's up, Rob? How's it going, buddy? All right, everybody, thanks for joining. Thanks for coming back a second time. I'm sorry this thing dipped out. I'm going to be live a lot, so you know you can just head on over to Nerdrotic Live in 1 hour, and I'll be there covering the Doom Patrol, and then in 2 hours, I'll be back here. All right? Everybody, have a great day. Go to nerdrotic.com for my live stream schedule, and may the small folk sing songs of your greatness. Jaloja!